we go. Amen. It's good to be saved.
Amen.
Why don't you stand up for a few minutes, stretch your legs. It's good to be back here tonight for Youth Rally. How many of y'all had fun?
Amen.
Wow, you're tired. How many of y'all had a good time this weekend?
Amen.
There we go. Look at your neighbor and say, I had a good time. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't you appreciate Faith Baptist Church? It's a blessing to come home and be with family and friends, the church family. Brother Ed Schweitzer was just up here. Me and my wife have been talking. His daddy had passed away. And then John Garner, the gentleman that went after my dad and brought him to a church where he got saved. And there's other folks we've been hearing about passing away. And some of the old-timers are passing away. And looking around, I'm thinking, man, I've had friends that have fallen away and things like that. But our heart is encouraged. Brother Ed, you say, why? Because some of the young men at Faith Baptist Church here, Michael Shane.
Amen.
Amen.
David Neath.
Amen.
Josh Ryman. Alex. These young men stepping up. Doing things.
Yes, sir.
And there's other young men out here. Your church is doing things. If you see them, you should thank them. They're carrying the load. There's young ladies. Thank you. Their wives. Some of them have wives. Thank you. They're stepping up. I told my wife the other night, I said, honey, I said, man, I see some folks, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the folks of Faith Baptist Church, but I've been here for a while, so I've gotten older. And you could tell that they've gotten older. It's part of life. It happens. I'm getting ready to turn 43. I'm feeling it. They think I'm a young buck. That's what they say. And like I said, I'm not being disrespectful, but I remember when they used to run around here and do those things. And you should thank these young men. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate them. I really do. I really do. You may be seated. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I really appreciate Brother David Neath and the skits. Amen. Y'all enjoyed those? I really appreciate that. Appreciate all the hard work and all those things. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Now that I'm getting older and seeing some of these, like I said, these men dropping and seeing some other guys come up, I am worried, like I said last night, of the generation that is coming up, what they're going to do. But I believe that Jesus Christ is very, very real, don't you?
Amen.
I believe he's very powerful through the Holy Ghost, as I talked about last night.
Amen.
God inside of us. I believe the Holy Spirit is still working today. Listen, Sunday morning we had two people walk the aisle. And you say, what did they walk the aisle for? And they bowed their head and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. Amen?
Amen.
A mother and a daughter. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I had another lady that is going to just left her church to come to ours. She was frustrated. She'd been reading her Bible, but her church doesn't open up the Bible. It's a St. John's Episcopal Church, and my man in my church that does our signs, he said, if you're shopping for a church, we're open on Sunday, but it was up there just for a little while. And she said, I read that, and I said, I'm shopping. And so she was going to that church, and she tried the Church of Christ because they had a Bible study, and they opened their Bible, but they were using another book. But they canceled three times in a row on a Wednesday night, so she shows up at my church. And at the end of the first Wednesday night, she just sat in her chair, blown away. And she said, Pastor, I don't know what just happened. She said, but I know this, I had some meat tonight. And that's been going on for about a month. She's coming in and out, not knowing what the Lord wants her to do. Come Sunday, she stayed all day Sunday, saw those people walk the aisle and get saved. Next morning, Monday morning, she called her church and she said, look, I need to meet with y'all. She met with the leaders and said, I'm leaving because I need to meet and I'm tired of the milk. She said, I've never seen two people walk the aisle and get saved. She said, I saw it in that church. Tuesday morning, I saw her. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Because this ain't me. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody decided to read their Bible that went to a church and didn't tell them to read their Bible. She said, you open up the Bible. You don't use a book, other book. You don't just tell stories. You go from scripture to scripture. And the Holy Spirit is working on her. I seen her Tuesday morning, Jason, at the bank. She had our gospel tracts.
Come on.
And she's waving them in her car and waving me down. She said, I got a hold of these gospel tracts. And those two people that got saved, I've never seen nothing like it. And I remember when I got saved, and she said, I put a little bit of money in here so when I go to the diner, I could give it to the waitress. When I see somebody that needs something, I could give them some money and give them a gospel tract. And preacher, pray that they get saved. I don't know about you, but that stirred my heart.
Yeah.
You say, why? It's the power of the Holy Spirit of God in
yeah.
His word being mixed together. And boy, it does something in our hearts.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. But what I do not believe is that the Holy Spirit works without opposition. I believe the opposition that is in this day and time is directly connected with another spirit. It's not just the world and the flesh, but it's the spirit of the Antichrist. Meaning this, it's directly contrary to the Holy Spirit. It's directly contrary to Jesus Christ. It's directly contrary to the Father. It's directly contrary to the Word of God. It's directly contrary to the singing of God. The Holy Spirit that gives you and I guidance and direction to do the things that the Lord would have us to do opposes it with another spirit. Trying to get that preeminence in our life to be able to guide us to do something else different. There's a spirit in this age that's tried from the beginning of the garden to get the position of authority in this day and time in our lives. It is setting up a platform so when the physical Antichrist comes on this earth, he'll step right in like nothing. He's going to fit right in. He's going to move right in. Nobody's going to have problems with him. They're going to love him. When that Antichrist comes, he obtains, listen to me, he obtains the kingdoms. He doesn't do it by war. Now listen to me, young people. He does it by flattery. He does it by flattery. He does it by trying to get unity. I don't know if you noticed, they're trying to get everybody together on everything. Oh, what's wrong with you Baptists? You can't join with this group and that group. Hey, listen, because they're not joined with Jesus Christ. And it's contrary to the Spirit of God that's inside of me. It's contrary to the Word of God that I have. And that Spirit is working. And boy, it's working on our young people. And it's working on your minds. And boy, that Antichrist spirit is just a working. And listen, he's going to come and tame the kingdoms by flattery and not by war. By peace and not by war. The Bible teaches us that the whole world would be enamored by him, overwhelmed by him. And in the tribulation, they're going to slaughter thousands. You know how they're going to do it? They're going to cut their heads off. Most of us know one group that cuts heads off right now and videotapes it. He's going to join them together with all these other religions And nobody's going to say nothing. They're all going to say, you're right. Let's cut their heads off. Boy, that spirit is so powerful. If the Lord didn't shorten the days of the 144,000, they would be deceived too. Listen, I'm telling you, your enemy is so powerful, young people. His power of deception is so great. It has deceived preachers. It has deceived youth pastors. It has deceived mamas. It's deceived daddies. It's deceived our young people. And it's taken us by storm. Make no mistake, your enemy knows you very well. From the beginning of time, he's been around and he's studied mankind. And he knows the ins and outs of your heart and mind. And he's in the world today. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. When we talk about having spiritual discernment, spiritual things to discern the spirits, you have to know some biblical information to be able to determine how it is and when and where it is that it's manifested in your life. You say what? The spirit of the Antichrist. You say that spirit of the Antichrist can't be manifested in my life. Oh, yes, it can. So when he comes, the Antichrist, that spirit is already doing the work to set him up. So when he comes, he'll step right in on the scene. And all the rulers of the world, all the church rulers, all those preachers are going to be enamored. They're going to accept him and bring him in. They'll love him. I want you to look at 1 John here. You with me? Say, whoop, whoop. And Juliet, could you, honey, bring me my water? This is my beautiful little girl, Juliet. Appreciate her bringing me my water. Give her a hand. Thank you, baby. I like embarrassing her. She tries to be shy. Look what it says here, 1 John 4. We'll look at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. I want to stop there for a minute. I want you to look up here. Let me tell you something. We have these phones, and I talked about it last night, how wonderful it is to stay in contact. We have all this. But let me tell you something. You better be careful, because when we read this, we always think of a pastor or a preacher or a priest or somebody going around, like, I won't say his name, Steven Anderson, and all these guys on YouTube and all this stuff as false prophets, and that's true. But let me tell you something. There's other false prophets on here called sports. Amen. Yeah. And I love sports, and me and my son are basketball fanatics. We know players. Listen, but football players, movie stars, rock stars. Hey, listen, I hope you don't have them up on your wall at home. Amen. Because if you study them out, they believe some weird things. Amen. And there's a spirit behind it. Oh, I love Stephen Curry. I like to watch him play. But I don't like that he claims he's a Christian. When he first came in the league, he was saying about Jesus Christ. Now he won't say anything about it, cussing and acting a fool like everybody else. You say, what got him? Spirit of Antichrist. Amen. Boy, I like watching, what's his name on the Boston there? He was with LeBron. Kyrie Irving. But did you ever check his shoes? I was at the shoe store a couple weeks ago, and on his shoe he has a pyramid with an eye in it. Illuminati, baby. Right on his shoes. I asked the lady, I said, hey, do you know what this is? She said, no, I didn't even ever saw that. She said, I think that's Illuminati. I said, it sure is. Hey, he believes there's a flat earth too. what I'm saying is they use their positions. Amen. They use their positions to push what they believe. And there's a spirit behind it. I'm not saying you shouldn't watch them. I'm not saying any of that. I like watching them. But one thing I'm not going to do is let them be my idol. It's going to be Jesus. 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 And these guys are pushing it, and the movie stars are pushing it, and they're pushing it, and they're pushing it. And you know what we do? Those false prophets get us. And we begin to say, it's okay to dress like this. It's okay to act like this. We begin to feel sorry. We begin to say, hey, it's okay. I got LeBron James shoes, but I don't like them. I like his shoes. They look good. But he has a lot of stuff he pushes too. It's a spirit. But I want you to see that these false prophets are not just preachers. They could be friends. Somebody you idolize, look up to. Look at the next verse. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Do you know the Spirit of God? Oh boy. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. Amen. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of what? I guarantee you check those guys out. Oh, did Jesus come? Is Jesus the Son of God? I don't know about that. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come. Look at this. Even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children. I like this. Ye are of God, little children. Ye are of God, little children. And have overcome them. Who's them? The prophets. You've overcome these spirit. Amen. He's telling you, you can overcome them. Amen. Because greater is he that is in you. Yeah. What I talked about last night. The Spirit of God that's in you and me is greater than he that is in the world. Amen. Hey, listen, we got something so great inside of us. That's so powerful that when we take the word of God and apply it to that spirit in our life, we are able to overcome. Hey, I'm telling you, overcome Satan, overcome his spirit, overcome the world, amen, overcome our flesh. You say, why? Because he's great that it is inside of me.
Yeah, amen.
Look at verse 5. They are of the world, false prophets. Therefore, speak they, false prophets, of the world. But the world heareth them. Hey, listen, that world's lost. We need to go tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, like my brother said, because you know what they're listening to? The spirit of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
But look at verse 6. We are of God. And he that knoweth God heareth us. I like that. If you know God, you're going to hear it through preaching. If you know God, you're going to hear it through the songs. You know God, you're going to hear it through his word. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby, check this out. Now, hereby know we the spirit of what? Uh-oh, there it is. The spirit of truth. And there's another spirit we know. Say it with me. The spirit of what?
Error.
You know what I find, Michael? I think some kids see the spirit of truth and hear the spirit of truth, but they don't know the spirit of error. And that spirit of error has messed us up. And the Bible says, hey, you little children, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But let me tell you something. If you're of God, you'll hear God, and you'll hear the word of truth, and you know it. But you also will hear the spirit of error, and you say, you know what? I can't go that way. Go to Ephesians 6. You with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 6. I got to hurry up. I want to hear Brother Jason. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. Look what Ephesians 6 says. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know what those wiles are? Trickery. That word means trickery, deception. Those wiles of the devil are trickery and deception. That's what the Antichrist is doing. Trickery and deception. Look at verse 13. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Look at verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen.
He said, listen, you know what you need to do? You need to realize that there's a devil out there. He's trying to deceive you, that spirit of error, that spirit of Antichrist. But let me tell you something. I gave you a sword. I gave you the word of God. And listen, I gave you a word that you can rely on, that you can use, and I gave you a helmet. You say, what's that helmet for? Keep all those wicked thoughts out. Because them spirits, listen, you're going to go home. They're going to mess with you. And the thing's going to hit you. And then you watching whatever you're watching and all that superhero stuff that's coming out that you're watching, there's a message behind it. And Satan's trying to push it and push that spirit and push that spirit and push that spirit to get us to get away from God's word. If I can get you just to go to church, Satan says, and not do nothing and just go and just be there, then I'll be happy with that. Long as you don't sell out. Out for God.
Amen, preacher. That's good.
Because I don't want you picking up that sword. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Where in the time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the, what's it say? Prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I'm trying to show you there's a spirit that's contrary to the Holy Spirit of God. Go back to 1 John. Go back to 1 John. You with me? Say, whoop, whoop. Go back to 1 John. There is a spirit that is contrary. It's fighting us. Listen, we already got our flesh fighting us, amen. Boy, our stinking flesh is getting in the way. And always getting in the way. But let me tell you something. But there's another spirit that is trying to destroy us. As I got reading this chapter, and I noticed he talked about this spirit. But after verse 6, he says something I never saw before. And maybe you're a little smarter than me and you saw it, but I've never saw it before. Look what he says. Now, we're supposed to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, correct? We know, would you agree, that there is a spirit of Antichrist working very strong right now? And we have, if you're saved here, you have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Agree with that? And you got the power of the Word of God. You agree with that? That sword that you can hold. And you got that helmet of salvation. But look what he says here. We are, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Now, wait a minute. Now, you're just talking about the Spirit of God, and you're talking about spirit of error and the spirit of truth, and you're talking about this Antichrist, and now you're talking about loving one another? Do you know the rest of this passage is talking about loving one another? Look at this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, you can say amen right there, and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to, love one another. No man has seen God in any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is made perfect in us. Listen. What I told you last night, God was manifested in the flesh. Remember that? The Spirit of God is in us, but God manifested in the flesh. But look at verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his, capital S, what? So if God was manifested in the flesh, when is the last time that his Spirit's been manifested in your flesh? That somebody said, that's a Christian. That's a person acting like the Lord Jesus Christ. If he's in us and we believe he's in us, when is the last time your wife or your husband or your children or even you said, man, I seen the Spirit of God on Daddy. Man, that was Christ-like, because it was manifested out. We don't see it much anymore. Look at this. Verse 14. And we have seen, and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have, known and believed the love of God hath to us. God is love, and he dwelleth in us. Love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, matured, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has sent, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. You say, preacher, what is it saying? He's saying that Spirit, listen to me, he's saying that Spirit of Antichrist will seep in and will kill the spirit of love one to another. You know what I believe? I believe our churches are setting up the platform for the Antichrist. Listen, I'm talking about Bible believing, King James only, dispensationals. Our churches, Daddy, are setting up the platform so the world don't even see Jesus, that they don't even want to come to a Baptist church anymore and hear hard preaching or hear that kind of preaching. They come to our churches and they're grieved, where they walk out and don't even get saved. Because we don't love each other like Christ loves us. And so we've set up this platform, boys, that when we get out of here and rapture out of here, they're going to say, oh, those guys got taken, and they're just going to come in, and it's going to set up the platform for the Antichrist. How are we different than the world? I got my King James Bible. That's why we're different. No, we're not. There's a lot of religions got their books. You know how we're different? We love one another. We love one another. Hey, listen, we love the unlovables. Hey, we love when it's hard to love. Because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But we have allowed that spirit to come in our churches, and we don't love each other, and we don't treat each other right. And John puts in here, hey, we know the spirit of error. I say to John, no, we don't. We don't get it, John. We don't get it. Look at Romans chapter 15. You with me? Say amen. If you get this thing about the Spirit of God, listen, I am tired of preachers going away, Brother Jesse, and not preaching about the Spirit of God. Because they're worried about the charismatics. Hey, listen, they're not preaching about my spirit that I got inside of me. They ain't talking about the right spirit. They're talking about something made up. And you know what kind of spirit it is? Spirit of Antichrist. Amen. And if you're in a charismatic movement, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just trying to tell you, hey, I'm not over there with my hands up and not getting no Bible and have some rock and roll band to get me going to stir me up. No, I want God's word. Amen. And I want the spirit that's inside of me. I don't need a rock band. Amen. The camp that me and Brother Jason said, they said, why don't you have a rock band then? I said, well, you know, we wanted to tell them. We haven't told them, but you got a rock band in, and you only got, what is it, 40 teens?
Come on now.
We ain't got, listen, they come to our services, and they're looking around like, man, there's 420-some teens in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you getting them, and they're not having a rock band? The Word of God.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
We don't need that stuff.
Yeah.
We need God.
Yeah.
And we need His power on our lives. And boy, look at here, Romans chapter 15. Paul speaking to the church. Look at verse 30. Look what he says. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit. Do you got love for the Spirit? I got love for the Spirit. That ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my services which I have in Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, that may with you be refreshed. Let me say something about this spirit. You know what this spirit does? Paul's here. He's telling them. He said, listen, I have a love for the Spirit, and I have my men pray this. My men are praying this right now for me as I'm preaching. Lord, deliver our pastor from those that don't believe, because there's some of you in here that don't believe what we're preaching. And that he'd come with the saints with joy by the will of God, that God would orchestrate the joy that he's putting in here with our spirit. Come on, listen to me. But when we leave here, we're all refreshed.
Right. Amen.
Hey, you guys should be praying that for your pastor, and you should be praying it for Brother Jesse. You don't understand. You get up here, the spiritual battle that we have. Because people are coming in with the spirit of the Antichrist, trying to oppose the Spirit of God as we're working here. If God unveiled our eyes, we would see spirits probably running around here trying to get in your minds and your hearts, say, don't listen to that preacher. Then the Holy Spirit of God says, he's telling you the truth. He's telling you what right. Listen to that word of God. Hey, listen, you need to deal with this. And that spirit's talking to you. And there's a battle going on. And my men pray for me all the time. God, help us to be delivered from those that don't believe. God, help us to come with joy that we leave refreshed. Because listen, when you leave refreshed, you want to come back.
Yeah.
Hey, when I go to a good restaurant and I get a good meal, I want to come back. It refreshes me. And when I go to church, I want to be refreshed.
Amen.
Look at this. I'm running out of time. I got to hurry up. I look at Colossians chapter 1. Oh, I love his word. I love his word. It's that two-edged sword that is powerful. Powerful. Look at Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to be able to read it all. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, in the love which you had for all the saints. You got a love for the saints? Look at this. He goes down and tells them that you heard the word of truth in verse 5 of the gospel and that you're bearing fruit. And then he talks about a man that was there and helping them and teaching them. And he had told them this in verse 8, who also declared unto us your love for the what? The Colossians had a love for the Spirit of God. He said, and after this, I ain't got time to go in it. I would love to. But he says, since we heard you had a love for the Spirit of God, we begin to pray for you. And we prayed God would do this, and God would do this, and God would do this. Why? Because they knew that the spirit of Antichrist was going to attack that spirit.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
Look at this. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. You with me? Thank you. Got my little brother going, woo-woo. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 13. Ephesians 1. Look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, that ye heard word of truth again, of the gospel and your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of what? Promise. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption and purchase of possession unto the praise of the glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the what? You know what he began to pray for them? Look at verse 17. He began to pray for them, and he said, this is what I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God, the our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that God would reveal himself with them in the eyes of understanding, be enlightened. Paul said, listen, your love for the saints, that love for the Spirit, I want you to connect the two. That love for the saints and the love for the Spirit helps you to open your eyes to see the things in God's word. And it begins to move. I want you to look at this one. Go to Philemon. Philemon, you with me? We got to hurry up. Philemon. Philemon, look at verse 1. Oh boy, in the wrong place. Philemon, look at verse 1. Paul's in jail. And Onesimus here. Look at this. Onesimus here. And look at verse 5. He's writing to a man named Philemon, and he's writing to this man. Look what he says in verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all his what? Saints. That the communication of thy faith may become effectually by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in the love because the bowels of the saints are, what's the next word? By thee, brother. He says that the bowels of the saints have been refreshed. Hey, listen, I want to explain something to you real quick. Philemon was one of those, I want to preach a message on him. Brother Mike, he was one of those men that all he did was refresh the brethren. At the end of Philemon, Paul says, hey, make my bed, tell the other fellas, and he names them. Hey, tell them I'll be there soon. I love them. He said, but I want you to accept your old servant, Onesimus, not as a servant, but as a brother. Now, Onesimus got in some trouble, did some wrong things to Philemon, and he ends up in jail. Paul's there. He gets saved. Paul writes this letter. Onesimus gets out. He gives him the letter. And here comes Onesimus. And he got a letter in his hand. One of that servants go, hey, Philemon, that looks like Onesimus. What is he doing coming over here after all he did? He said, I don't know. And boy, here comes Onesimus. He was probably a servant that couldn't read. And he handed Philemon that letter. And Philemon opened that letter. It was from Paul, and we get to read it. He begins to read that thing. And as he begins to read it, Onesimus has tears running down his face. Because now he's going back to his master, not to be a servant. Listen to me, to be a brother. I can hear Onesimus go, Master. He says, Brother, you can call me brother. You don't have to call me master no more. Brother, could you read that again? You say, why? Philemon knew how to refresh the brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at this. We got to hurry up. I'm going somewhere. Oh, I want to tell you this. Onesimus, if you go to Colossians chapter 4, Paul sends Onesimus to go refresh the Colossians. Why? Philemon trained them and refreshed them. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now don't forget what we're talking about. We're talking about the spirit of the Antichrist and a love for the Spirit of God. Look at this. Ephesians 4, look at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, and with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring, that's making an effort, striving to keep the unity of the what?
Spirit.
Of the what?
Spirit.
Spirit in the bonds of peace. Paul's telling them, he said, listen, I want to see you keep the unity in the Spirit. Remember I was telling you that they're coming in and we're not loving one another? It's brought division. And there's division among you. In your youth groups, in your homes, in your churches. And you know what you're doing? You're setting up the platform for the Antichrist. He's having his way. He's excited about it. Well, preacher, you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. But the Lord does. Listen, I'm not sitting up here saying it's easy to forgive somebody. I've been through some things since I've been a pastor, and it's taken some time and me being on my face and some scripture and talking to some older pastors to give me some advice to help my heart and mind. To be able to forgive. And when the right opportunity is, if things get mended, I can refresh. Trying my hardest to keep that unity and keep that unity and keep that unity. Listen, if we would strive to refresh each other and keep that unity, it would be something. It would be something. One thing about my dad, it's always tried to do. He's endeavored to try to keep the unity. If you know Pastor Allen, Dr. Allen Ryman, he's always tried to keep the unity in the Spirit. He's always tried to refresh. Let me tell you something about Faith Baptist Church. When you come here, they treat you like royalty. And they try to refresh you. They try to keep that unity.
Amen.
It's a spirit. Now, that was my introduction. Here's the title of the message. The love of the Spirit rejects the spirit of the Antichrist. I've already gave you 2 points. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. This will be the last one. Now listen to me. You agree, if you're saved, you have the power of the Spirit of God inside of you?
Amen.
You agree that your King James Bible is the sword of the Spirit, right?
Amen.
You agree that there's in this world already the Spirit of the Antichrist.
Amen.
And if we don't strive to keep that unity, if we don't strive to refresh each other, we'll never get to the third one. We'll never get to this third one. You say, what is it? Exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done with strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let not every man, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery of God to be equal with God, and made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You could say amen right there. Therefore God has highly, highly, highly exalted him. I'm going to say that again. I don't think you got that. Therefore God also hath highly exalted Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And given him a name, amen, which is above every name.
Amen.
Above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And everything in heaven, and everything in earth, and everything under the earth. Everybody in hell is going to bow too. And that every tongue shall confess. I want to say that again. That every tongue that's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord,
amen,
to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
You say, what are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is, listen, that spirit of love, when we get that spirit of love, we begin to refresh each other. We begin to encourage each other. We begin to, and listen, when we endeavor to keep that unity, then who gets exalted? Jesus. He gets highly exalted in our churches. You talking about, we hear all these stories, Brother Mike, about the God moving in these meetings, and we see the cloud come in and God move. You know what it's done? It's when we get our hearts right and we start refreshing each other and we start getting in unity, God begins to move and God gets the glory. I don't think y'all get it. I grew up around the old time. I remember meetings. God got so thick in there. People were getting right with each other. Listen, I'll tell you when that happened here. A couple years back, we had this meeting here, this youth rally. And the, what's the group that came in, Brother Jesse? Rochester's. Rochester's come in. And we were packed out. It was the year that we had all the suicides. And we were going to have that service over there. And I'll never forget, we got in here. And man, the service was good. Brother Mike, you were here. You were preaching. That was the year you were preaching. And Brother Massa was here. It was Brother Massa, me, and Brother Mike. We were preaching. And boy, I'll never forget. It was so rough in here. People weren't coming to the altar. People weren't doing things. And then I had a meeting Saturday as the kids went to eat. I had a meeting. It was packed out. We had chairs all the way in the back. It was over 800 folks here. And we had all the leaders in there. And I said, listen, there is a spirit here. I don't know what it is. And we need to pray because God needs to do something tonight. It was Saturday night. It was the last night. People started raising their hand. We have 3 lost, 4 lost, 5 lost, 6 lost. Rochester's got here, and they sang that song, Send the Rain. But that wasn't the thing that got it. They said, we're going to sing it. And Brother Matthews got up and he began to preach about how we are as Christians. And he began to give the plan of salvation and he began to talk about the Lord. And if you were here, remember, he began to preach that. And at that time, right before that, my dad got the offering plates and he put them out. And all the young people started coming and putting money up there. They begin to sacrifice. If you're ever going to refresh anybody, you're going to have some sacrifice. And these kids brought their lunch monies and their money that their parents gave, and they started putting on the altar for that group that was singing, and Brother Matthews began to lift up Jesus Christ. Then all of a sudden, Josh wasn't doing right, and he would come in, and he fell on the altar. And we fell on the altar with him, Mom and Dad. Oh, it was my dad and me. And then he went back there, and listen, as soon as I got off the altar with you, Josh, Brother Tito from Connecticut came to me right here and he said, Brother Samson, these two boys want to get saved. You say, what happened? There was a unity that started to come in because the refreshment had already happened and the unity started to come in and God started to move. You say, where did it start? I believe it started in the old building. The other building over there where we all got together and said, we got lost kids here. We got kids that are backslidden that need to get saved. And we got down and we had a prayer meeting. And unity began to build. And boy, I called Jeremiah, he went and laid them to the Lord. And all of a sudden, I hear my mom scream like an Indian Apache or whatever. She yelled, because her boy would get right, was weeping on her neck. Boy, and I looked up, Brother Mike, and there was a cloud in here. Because 13, 14, 15, 16, they kept on singing, got saved. And it come unglued. They got singing more. I never forget brother, Mr. and Mrs. Rochester, as they come down. They were weeping, the older folks. And they said, Brother Samson, how many just got saved? I said, I think about 16. And they said, we ain't seen that in years. God moved. Do you realize all the way to Wednesday of the next week, what the Lord did here, we had 49 saved. I'll never forget it. We went over there and over to the school on Sunday, had 27 saved there that would just come for that meeting we had trying to get the community in. God moved mightily. Brother Jesse, if you get on the piano, whoever's coming, get on the piano there for a minute. Listen, I'm telling you, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen, the rapture's going to happen. Tribulation's going to come in. That spirit of Antichrist, that Antichrist is going to step on that platform. They're going to love him. They're going to believe him. They're going to be deceived. Christ's going to come back. We're going to be riding on white horses. Hallelujah. Amen. And boy, we're going to have the millennial reign. And when he reigns, listen to me. He's going to rule, but he's going to bind up Satan. You can say amen right there. Amen. 1,000 years, Satan's going to be bound. I can't wait to see it. We're going to see old Satan come there. Daddy, that old serpent that tried to destroy the Ryman family. That old serpent, that spirit of the Antichrist that tried to destroy us. Yeah. And we're going to watch the Savior bound them. Yeah. And put them in prison. Amen. And after that 1,000-year reign, listen to me, young people. After that 1,000-year reign, he's going to be let loose. And he's going to deceive the nations. And there's going to be another battle. Yeah. Listen, there's going to be another battle. And boy, this time when they bind Satan, listen to me. They're binding him and his spirit. Let me say that again. They're binding him and his spirit. We ain't gonna have to worry about him no more. And we're gonna watch the Lord Jesus Christ come. And he's gonna sit on his throne. And they're gonna take old Satan. He's gonna be trembling. And he's gonna bow. Hallelujah. He's gonna bow. And he's gonna give the Lord Jesus Christ glory. the glory reserves. And at the white throne judgment, every leader, Muhammad's going to bow. Obama's going to bow. Every one of them are going to confess him as Lord. Have the glory. Hey, he's going to get his glory. I just want to tell you, I'm glad I'm on his side. I'm glad he's in me. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. This thing is more powerful than you ever can think. But if we could get some young people to realize there's a spirit that's trying to destroy you, and that spirit's going to lose one day, and he's going to bow his knee to our Savior. And as you live in this earth and in this body, you can say, Father, I'm giving my all. I'm going to let that word of God as a sword strengthen that spirit inside of me and live for you, that I can go out and tell somebody else, refresh somebody else. But I'll try to keep the unity with my youth group. I'll try to keep the unity with my church. I'll try to keep the unity with my mama and my daddy. I'll try everything I can. And I'll try to refresh them. Father, so you can be glorified. Yeah. I'd hate to be there in the crowd as I watch Satan bow. I'll be rejoicing. But to think in my mind, I didn't live for him. And I never gave him glory in my life. I never exalted him like he should be exalted. I never did those things that I should have done for him. And he gave me his Holy Spirit. He gave me a good pastor, good youth pastor. He gave me a book. And I wasted it on this world that he's going to burn up. Why don't you come, young person, and say, I want to rededicate my life tonight. Stand up. Why don't you stand? I want to rededicate my life tonight. That spirit's so real in my life. That word of God's so real in my life. But I want to rededicate my life. You know what I've done this year? I rededicated my life. Sometimes you have to do that. So I want that spirit to be real in my life. Every head bowed, eyes closed, and maybe you're lost here tonight. Look at me. Excuse me, don't look at me. Bow your heads. Listen to me. Maybe you're in the crowd and you said, I don't understand all this, but I don't know where I'm going to go when I die. You leave here tonight, get in a car accident and die. Where would you go? Where would you go? You say, preacher, I don't know where I'd go. Would you pray for me? Nobody looking around. Would you raise your hand? Got the courage, raise your hand and say, would you pray for me? Would there be anybody? I don't know if I died here, where I would go. Anybody? All right, I don't see no hands. Say, Christian, he said, listen, preacher. Boy, these messages that this weekend has touched my heart. Help, pray that I'd go home. Pray that I'd go home and I'd give my all and let God do the work in my life through his spirit and through his word. Would you raise your hand and say, preacher, please. Amen. Amen. All over the room. You ones that raise your hand, let me challenge you. You raise your hand, why don't you come? Why don't you ask them? I'm going to pray for you, but why don't you come? Why don't you come down? Because what you're doing is you're telling me God spoke to you. And here's a great time to come down and be testified that he spoke to me. And you know what? I'm going to respond. You raise your hand and say, why don't you come? Talk to him. Say, Father, I want to grow more. Why don't you come? Brother, sister, go ahead.